Hallelujah. This is the day God's made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. Amen and amen, because the Lord is good all the time. Amen. All the time. Would you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7? 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter 7. You know, one of the things that the enemy wants to happen all the time, and his whole purpose in that area besides destroying mankind, is to attack the believer, one who is following the Lord, and interfere with his prayer life. And I want to share something, because if you don't take control of your prayer life, you will be controlled. I'm going to say that again. If you don't take control of your prayer life, you will be controlled. You know, believers think sometimes, because of the compromise and complacency people fall into because of the voice of the stranger, that they don't need to pray today. Well, God knows my heart. Well, he does know your heart. And one of the things is, when you don't pray, he's trying to tell you you're deceived. As a believer and a follower of Christ, we're to be the example of Christ. We're to be in his image and likeness. We're to not only express his character, amen, but we're to be the witness. So we're to express him and be the witness. And one of the things that Jesus did, not only was a third of his ministry casting out devils, a third of his ministry was healing the sick and preaching, but a third of his ministry was prayer. He spent time in prayer. Why? Because in prayer is where you are strengthened also. In other words, prayer gives you enough strength to get into the fellowship. Hello? Prayer. And in this, there seems to be much lack of prayer. Or it's just words. It's no longer heart sought. It becomes so ritualistic that there's no meaning to it. Does everybody understand? And in 2 Chronicles, so anyways, before we go here, one of the things that the Lord put on my heart was refresh us in the guideline of prayer. And so it's pretty wild, because as I was getting this message, and after the Lord had put it in my spirit and wrote it down and so forth, and I was just led to hit the TV to see what the weather or what was going on, and I hit a Christian station, and one of the things was, who was my pastor, and he was on TV, and what he was speaking on was prayer. That's what the whole message was prayer, and about prayer, and about prayer, and about prayer. And I'm thinking, whoa, Lord, this is cool. Okay, I got my confirmation. Hallelujah. So I know that this is what the Spirit is moving in the body of Christ. He's bringing his people back to the arena of prayer. You know, people get so caught up in survival mode that they lose sight of surrender mode in prayer. Because when you're in prayer, one of the things about prayer is God's presence. It's associated with seeking his presence. It's making contact. It's acknowledging him. Amen? And when a believer lacks prayer, he lacks control. Does everybody get it? Because submission to God is associated with prayer, isn't it? So, the Bible says, submit to God, then you can resist the devil. Without submitting to God, it is impossible to resist the devil. He'll wipe you out every time. People who backslide, the first thing they stop is prayer. Or they become religious and ritualistic in the area where they just speak words, and they're just selfish prayers, which God doesn't even answer. In fact, he won't answer when people are in sin. He doesn't answer. In fact, when there's accursed items in a home, he doesn't answer. He says, get rid of it. And people try to dance around it, jump around it, and justify it and reason it. He will not answer prayer. The Bible says he does not answer a sinner until that person comes to repentance and submits. Amen? But he answers, he hears the prayers of a worshiper. So prayer is also associated with practicing the presence of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, in verse 12, it says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command a locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will what? Humble themselves. See, a resistance of prayer is a fruit of pride. When a person resists prayer, they are prideful because they think that they know it or they can do it without prayer. They become self-reliant. And let me tell you something. If everybody was steadfast in prayer, there'd be no backslider. People would be more tentative, sensitive, and discerning. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, which is his presence, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Many of us need healing. Healing comes by humbling oneself and seeking God's presence. Calling by his name is Jesus. Humbling oneself, praying, calling on him, speaking to him, seeking his face, which is his presence, and turn from all forms of evil rebellion. Turning away from all forms of evil rebellion. And God will begin to answer prayer. In 1 John chapter 3. You know, people can blame the devil all they want, but they're the one that made room for him. Oh, the devil did it again. No, you let him again. In fact, some people sent out an invitation for him. In verse 22. Would you read it with me? And whatever we ask, we what? We receive from him. Because we what? Keep his commandments and do those things that are what? Pleasing in his sight. So we're keeping his commands. In other words, we're staying obedient and submissive. And we're doing things that please him. So let me ask you something. If you're doing things that aren't pleasing him, you think you're going to get an answer from God? No, he becomes silent. But let me tell you, when he's silent, every demon in hell is speaking. Every familiar spirit is trying to get you out of position. Every familiar spirit is trying to get you to do something else so he can keep you away from God's will. Believe me, he'll answer your prayer. He'll speak to you right then and there because God is silent. People be praying, oh, Lord, what's this, what's this? And all of a sudden this voice will come. But they haven't turned from the sin, and God is silent, and that familiar spirit will come and speak to them, and they'll go, oh, God told me. Oh, no, he didn't. We ask, we receive because we keep his divine order and priority where he is first. In 1 John chapter 5, we are doing things that please him. In verse 14, 1 John 5:14, would you read it with me? Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his what? His will. If we ask anything according to his will, he will what? He hears us. I had one woman call me one time on the phone, and she said, Pastor, I'd like you to agree with me in prayer. I said, what are you praying about? No, just please agree with me. No, I ain't agreeing with nothing. What are you praying for? Can't you just agree with me? No. Well, would you agree with me that my husband and I get restored? Tell me the circumstance. Well, he's married to another woman. No, I'm not going to agree with you, you idiot. You blew it. You lost it. He's gone. Let the dude go and live a good life, and you get your life back together. He's married to somebody else. How stupid can someone be and still breathe? People have some strange things, man. Granolas, nutty and fruity. Fruitcake. She needed to come in for deliverance. But anyways, we have this confidence that he is going to answer our prayer. Amen? Why? Because we know it's according to his will. In Philippians chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Is everybody there? Can we read this together, please? Be what? Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nada. But in everything by what? prayer. You know how many times people get out of God's position? Look at God's will is God's time. If you're anxious, you're going to do something that's not God's time. And it's going to end up collapsing anyways. It won't be fulfilled. Can't be. It's out of God's time. You're doing it in your own strength. And you'll find that the enemy's accessing and destroying everything because you're out of God's time. And you're out of God's time. You're out of God's protection. Again, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. In other words, that peace says, whenever. Does everybody get it? That's what the peace says. Whenever, Dad. I've laid it before you. Now, okay, whenever. I'm not doing it until I know. Does everybody get this? The peace means what? Whenever. People turn that peace into, no! Horns grow and everything. Tail comes out. It's the now spirit. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will what? Guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, that's awesome. Amen? That's awesome. Because he's awesome. Man, he wants to get us everything. But so many times, we move. It's like trying to get something to someone and they move all the time. You know, there's somebody I'm going to meet somewhere. They always come to this place and then, they're gone again. And you're trying to get them a gift. God's always trying to gift us with something. But when we get moved out of position, the enemy has access and legal right to steal. God's timing is God's will. We're not here tonight because we're not in God's time. It's because we're in God's time. That's why we're here. He has set this time. So when we obey and submit to his time, there are people that are supposed to be here that are not. You know why? They've been taken out of God's time. Not that you are watching. That's cool. You keep going. You're in God's time no matter where you are. As long as you're watching, then you're with us. But there's a difference of being in God's presence in fellowship and not being in God's presence. Amen? So in this, we don't want to fall out of God's time, but that's what the enemy likes to do. So what he does is he begins to push. Come on, do it now. What he does is he moves people with fear. If you don't do it now, you're going to miss it. Oh, shut up. God is God. Let me tell you something. You want to earn the trust of the Lord? You wait. No matter what comes across your path, be anxious for nothing. You wait. And remember, God never interrupts himself. If he tells you to come here for discipleship for 9 months or tells you to stay longer, don't let him push you out of place. He doesn't interrupt himself. You know how many people fall? You know how many times I get people coming to tell me? They tell me, Pastor, this is what I'm going to do. Okay, go ahead. I don't say nothing. If you come in my office and you ask for counsel, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to give counsel. But if you come to my office and you're going to tell me what you're going to do, I'm not going to ask for nothing. You're going to go eat dirt. And I see it all the time. And it's not because of me. It's because the Lord is the counselor, not the person. But I'll tell you what, he does meet us if we're willing to hear. Oh, hallelujah. In Daniel 10. Daniel chapter 10. Hallelujah. Guideline to prayer. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. Daniel 10, verse 10. Start at verse 9. And this is Daniel, and he's given his testimony about what occurred with him. And he said, "Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face and with my face to the ground." In verse 10 it says, "And suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you.' While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you what? Set your heart to understand.'" You know, many people set their heart to grumble, complain, justify, reason, instead of understand. From the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. How many of y'all want God to come because of your words? What do you got to do? Set your heart to understand and what? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Amen? And, you know, in the guideline of prayer, I just want to share that God is so cool in everything that he does. He gives us things to make it easy. You know, years ago, when after I had gotten saved and I was going into fellowships and I was involved in our fellowship, one of the first things I realized is there were so many new believers that were coming in, but they weren't leaving with something that they really needed, like a guideline to prayer. And that's when I prayed about that, and I set my heart to understand and humbled myself. And the Lord said to me, I woke up one morning, and he said, I want you to do this kingdom card. And that's what this kingdom card is about. It's a simple guideline to prayer. It's something that and there's Psalm 91 on the back of it now, so that's protection. But it's a simple guideline. It's just something to get us, like, kickstarting a Harley, you know? You know what a Harley says compared to a rice burner, right? A rice burner says, me, me, me. A Harley says, come out, come out, come out. Yeah. Me, 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 me. Come out, come out. Praise God. Anyways. So when I pull up on my come out bike, next to a me, me, me bike, I always think that, bro, you need deliverance. Hallelujah. Anyways, there's the guideline to prayer in the kingdom card. And it's a simple guideline. You know, first thing, invite the Holy Spirit to help you pray. Hello. You certainly don't want to play in the soul or in the flesh, so invite the Holy Spirit to help you pray. Then you can begin. It says, put on the full armor of God. Well, you know, there's a war going on. Get dressed with the full armor of God. Ask the Lord to dress you with the full armor of God. And speak Psalm 91, which is protection. Apply the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you, the Father acknowledges the blood, and the demons hate it. The only blood they like is human blood. Surrender your will to God every day. Ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with believers and spend time in the Word and renew your mind. This is a simple guideline, isn't it? Just simple. We also have the penetrating prayers. I mean, what? God provides it all. Any kind of prayer you need it, man, you can kick butt right with this book. But you got to speak it in the name of Jesus. Amen? We have another prayer I'm going to hand out in a minute because we're going to do some destructive work. In Luke 11. Yes. Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so Jesus gave him a guideline. He said, when you pray, go to the Father. Don't go to a saint. Don't go to your aunt. Don't go to grandma, grandpa. Hello? Don't go to nobody dead. Go to the Father. Amen? And acknowledge him. Pray that the kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, provision. So you pray for provision. You forgive. Why? Because if you don't forgive, God ain't going to answer your prayer anyways. He's not even going to speak to you. And ask him to help you get out of debt and protect you from temptation and deliver you from the hands of the evil one. In other words, snare your enemies in your own nets. When Jesus prays, and now before I go, this was just a parallel. This was a parallel that he gave his disciples. It was a simple guideline. Acknowledge the Father. Pray about the kingdom. Amen? Pray about provision and so forth that you need. Express these things. Lay your requests before God. But don't make it selfish. Amen? And Matthew 26. It says that Jesus came to a place called Gethsemane with his disciples, and he said, sit here while I go pray. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Verse 38, and he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. And he was serious about that. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. See, people go to prayer sometimes and try to tell God what they need to do, what he needs to do. Lord, you know, you really need to, you know, and I, you know, and then, no. And then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What the are you doing? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch." Look at verse 41. Read it with me. "Watch and pray lest you" what? "Enter into temptation." So let me tell you something. Without prayer, you're easily fallen to temptation. It says the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, I really, in this, the Lord is sharing that many people compromise prayer. They compromise it. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time. In verse 45, "And he came to his disciples and said, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Arise and let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand." Jesus prayed three times, and there's so much meaning to this, and I'm not going to get really into it, but I'm just going to share with you. There are three chambers in a tabernacle. He was fulfilling each one through prayer. In other words, victory is in prayer, isn't it? There's three dimensions. He was fulfilling each dimension, taking dominion over every dimension. There are three parts of man, spirit, soul, and body. He was overcoming so that everyone, soul could be renewed, flesh could be healed, spirit could be born. And there was a trinity of God, which is associated with oneness, that they may be one in this realm with his people. And of course, he was fulfilling the three feasts, praying about the three feasts, which he had to fulfill. So there was intercession there. And John 17. Now, there are three types of prayer. And that's how I really believe in this area also. I mean, prayer is prayer. We know that's speaking to God. But there's a prayer of communion when you're communing with the Lord. It's a fellowship with him. There's a prayer of intercession, which is requests. And there's a prayer of intervention, which is a prayer of attack. You're battling. Has everybody got it? So there's a prayer of intercession where you're interceding with requests. But there's a prayer of intervention where there's a that you're attacking now. And those three prayers should be a part of our prayer every day. Those three areas of prayer. Jesus prayed in John 17, in verse 1, it says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that you, your Son also may glorify you." Jesus first prayed for himself. Does everybody get it? Your first prayer should be for you. Lord, dress me with the full armor of God. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Expose anything in my life that's offensive to you. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because you got to be clean and freed before you can go to the next level of prayer. You can't, listen, if you're not freed from in the communion, in the fellowship of prayer, how can you go to intercession? He won't hear you. Does everybody get this? And once you've gone to intercession, then you go to intervention. In verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth, and I have finished the work which you have given to me. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before I came into the world. I have manifested your name." I have manifested your name. Man, I tell the Jehovah Witnesses this all the time. They still don't get it. The word Jehovah means God. It's not his name. Jesus said, "I have manifested your name." So what's his name? Jesus. No man comes to the Father except for through his name. "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given to me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and that they believed that you sent me." I pray for what? Them. So he prayed for himself and then those who were close. Does everybody get it? And then he prayed, go to verse 15. He says, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not in the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, But I also pray for those who believe in me through their word. This is for the lost now. Does everybody get it? So he was praying for those who were himself, those who were close, and then those for the lost. Does everybody get it? So we see here an associated and parallel of communion, intercession, and intervention. In Luke 18. Luke 18, in verse 9, would you read it with me, please? Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. What an idiot. Prideful. God, I thank you I'm not like other men. You know how many people pray like that? Many. I can tell you the Lord's not hearing that prayer. I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I mean, gosh. I fast twice a week. I give tithes and all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as to raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let me tell you something. We are all sinners. Never lose sight of that. Hello. Even when we repent, we're still sinners. So when you go before the Lord, one of the things that you want to do is first repent for all your sins. Lord, forgive me for my words, thoughts, and deeds, and anything I've done that has offended you. Amen? You repent first. Why? Because the blood always goes before the Spirit. So the blood must be manifested before you can access the throne room. Lord, forgive me. People try, oh God, good morning, hey, how you doing? He's like, whoa. Repent. Humble yourself. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for another day of breath. Thank you for your mercies and grace and your faithfulness. Good morning, Dad. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning. Lord, forgive me for anything I've done that's offended you. Please quicken me and revive me. Help me pray, because I can't pray in my own strength, and I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to help me pray. Amen. Does everybody understand that? And believe me, when you go praying, don't start praying for someone because you're offended with them. Oh, Lord, you know this person really needs this. And he's saying, no, you need this. You've exposed yourself out of your own mouth. Hallelujah. In James 5. James chapter 5. In verse 13, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? James 5:13. Is any among you suffering? What does he say? Let him pray. Hello? Why are they suffering? Because obviously they're not praying enough. Hello? Somebody get this. Is anybody suffering? Go pray. He didn't say, pick up the phone. He said, go to the throne. Go pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Amen. Suffering first, go pray. In Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, and verse 26. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, one of the evidences will be tongues. You will get a new language. In verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. What's our weakness? Prayer. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes what? Intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, they cannot be understood. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you pray without understanding. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. And look at what is it in verse 27 before we go there. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the what? Will of God. So when you're praying in tongues, are you praying the will of God? Yes, but I don't know what I'm praying. Thank God, finally. finally, your soulish, fleshly prayers are ceased. 1 Corinthians 14:14. Would you read it with me? For if I pray in a tongue or tongues, my spirit prays, hallelujah, but my understanding is what? Unfruitful. Well, so what's the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. That's your common language. I will also sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Does everybody get it? So there's a difference. When we pray corporately with understanding, we all pray in the common language. But we can all still pray in the spirit, because we don't need to have the understanding, because the spirit is making intercession through everyone. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. In fact, the seventh part of the full armor of God is tongues. In verse 18. I started 17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the what? In the Spirit, which means tongues. Being watchful to this end of all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. Verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's that area where you lay your requests down and the peace of God, which means whenever. In verse 8, it says, be sober. In other words, be alert. Be vigilant. Be consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So again, that's an area where you and I must be pray without ceasing, consistent in prayer. Yeah. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter chapter 4, while we're here, in verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be what? Serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, having fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be what? Serious and watchful. Would you turn to Proverbs 3, please? Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 5, would you read it 5 and 6 with me? What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him. Well, how are you going to acknowledge him without prayer? Isn't that what prayer is? Acknowledging the Lord? Amen. And he shall direct your path, as long as you're listening, you're hearing. In James chapter 4. Now, there are things that will hinder prayer. There were things that will hinder prayer. I had mentioned some of them already. James chapter 4. One of the things we'd mentioned was accursed items that will hinder prayer. In verse 3, it says something very powerful. It says what? You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. In other words, you're not asking according to the will of God. You're asking to spend it on your flesh. Things that will hinder prayer is not only accursed items, but if your works of the flesh. if you're walking in the flesh, works of the flesh, fornication, addiction, things of that degree, people are using drugs, drinking, and so forth, God will not hear prayer until that person comes to a repentance. Amen. Lying will hinder prayer. Unforgiveness will hinder prayer. Lack of faith will hinder prayer. Of course, prayer is not according to the will of God. Will definitely hinder prayer. The Word tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, you don't have to go there, just write it down, that if there is a problem between a husband and wife and it's not resolved in one way or another, they'll hinder prayer. Unbelief will hinder prayer. The word unbelief I'm going to use specifically is called doubt. The Bible says anyone who doubts is double-minded and will receive nothing from the Lord. Anyone who doubts will receive nothing from him. Does everybody get it? Just a simple guideline to prayer. We must take control or we will be controlled. Amen? And again, we talked about the communion, which is fellowship with the Lord in prayer, intercession associated with requests, and intervention was associated with attack. And this is a simple warfare prayer that has been put together. Some of us might not understand what hybrids or multidimensional spirits are, but they are there. So we're going to do a little attack. This is something to kick butt. Would you read it with me, please? Pull that prayer out. This is something that you pray when you're done praying. When you thought you finished, here you go. This kind of seals it, man. Let's read it. Holy Father of all creation, I thank you for seating me in heavenly places and for blessing me with all spiritual blessing. As your servant, I take my authority. I bind, blind, mute, and deafen every foul, unclean spirit of Satan's kingdom, including principalities, powers of darkness in heavenly places, spirits of demons, fallen angels, hybrids, multidimensional spirits that come against my house, family, health, prosperity, spiritual maturity, relationships, jobs, and fellowships of my church, staff, advertisement, websites, families, and all of our outreaches, projects, fundraisers, and operations that will expand the kingdom of God. And I cast those spirits to the pit in Jesus' name. I also call destructive fire down and all satanic organizations, occult cauldrons, corporations, businesses, governments, religions, Ponzi schemes, drug smuggling, human smuggling, weapon smuggling, sodomy, pornography, high places of Satan's altars, pagan altars, dimensional ports, abortion clinics, taverns, hybrid locations, test laboratories, headquarters, gathering places, financial support systems, supporting agents, media, propaganda, and agendas on the earth, in the heavenlies, and in the universe. I am asking that you distend your angels, destroy their places, rescuing those that have been taken captive, and put them in your house for healing and deliverance, and release the wealth of the wicked to the House of True Ministries, Vine of Life Ministries, their projects, debts, and flock in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would expose and remove all those that are persecuting your people and coming against your will in all governmental agencies, political, judicial, health care, foster care, prisons, those in the UN, teachers, wardens, judges, Supreme Court judges, senators, congressmen, deans, professors of colleges, wolves in the body of Christ, all military personnel, police, sheriffs, state troopers, drug enforcement, homeland security, military, media, sports, television, radio, music, educational organizations, volunteers, all other employees, employers, personnel, staff, volunteers, supporting agents and agendas in every country and nation globally. Lord, I ask that you put your servants in their place with wisdom, protection, and favor in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is attacking areas dimensionally, locally, and bringing forth and calling forth the blessings and prosperities and finances to this house and the flock. Praise God. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
You got it?
Yes.
Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the guideline of prayer. And we ask that you'll quicken us every morning to invite the Holy Spirit to help us pray and to not only commune with you in fellowship, but intercede and intervene, that we may speak these according to your will for your intervention, that your name will be glorified according to the words that come out of our mouth to move your angels on your behalf for your glory, for your honor, to rescue those who've been taken captive in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Be blessed.